joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. In the Bible it says, this is the Message version of it, Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person. I like that, and I like how this one person stated it, and he said, we are told to work together in unison. And that means boost a friend or a co-worker up when they need it most. But a good team member isn't someone who simply speaks words of encouragement with no wisdom or room for growth. Rather, a good team member challenges you to do better. In the end, they're not just helping you grow, but they're helping the team as a whole. And so I loved how he said that, and I think that's what I wanted to say today. So with that, it's a great service. Thank you all. Y'all. God bless you.
Thank you, Ivy. Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this first Sunday of August. We needed some rain, and I think it is on the horizon. Thank you all for joining here. Many of us joined today earlier than normal. I thought people would be late today because of the rain. Thanks be to God for all the blessings that we receive. One more day in our life to live in this world, to be a blessing here. And it is all God's gift, and let us be thankful for that. The announcements are listed in the back, second page of the bulletin. Those are the regular announcements. I don't have anything special to go. Our food bank ministry continues. Please donate in cash or in kind. The books are also available that will help our mission work. Our Thursday luncheon will be on August 21st, Thursday, at the Golden Corral at 1 p.m., joined for a time of lunch and fellowship. Today, we will have Holy Communion, celebration of the Lord's table, joined with Hispanic folks, so we'll have combined Holy Communion together. All are invited to the Lord's table. Thank you for your continued and faithful support to the ministries of this church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. Please continue to participate in our ministry. The donations you can use the online donation facilities on our website through debit card or credit card or bank draft. Many options there. Please use those. And thank you for your continued support of the ministries of the church. Again, wanted to welcome Kenny to this worship here again. He volunteered to come and work with us during the recovery time of Wayne. And thanks for being here joining with us. I wanted to bring a couple of business items for your prayers and consideration. Our insurance company has changed. Of course, they became a new company bought out by somebody. And also, because of our disaffiliation, we had to get a new policy. It's the same thing every year, but because we have a name change, we have to go through a new process. Our rates went up like 50%. More than 50%. So we went from 4,000 to almost 7,000. So that's about 75% increase. And I shopped around a couple of places, and everywhere is like quoting me 10,000 plus. So please pray about that. We need some kind of a liability insurance at least. I have to talk to Lisa about her expertise. Do we need the property insurance at least for the time being, or can we just do the liability? I don't know. But that's a lot of money at this point. And also, we are looking into having that chain replaced. That is something that people are worried about, and also insurance companies thinking that our church is a closed church, having a chain like that. So we wanted to put some kind of an arm up and down, a couple of $1,000s for that. So together, we are looking around $6,000 we have to raise during this year. I know we just went through something like fundraising, something like that a few months ago because of our utility charges. But things are going up. So regardless of how we look at it, we have to deal with it. So please pray about it so we can make a good decision about the insurance and also about the gate that we have to do something about that.
When you say the gait, you mean like a regular gait?
The arm, up and down arm.
Yeah. Do you want an automatic one?
Automatic one would
or
be...
Or just one that will swing open?
That costs a lot more money, right?
Actually, I have one.
Okay, does that work on an electric or...?
No.
Okay.
You could probably have it made to work on electric, but...
Okay.
It's about, I think, what do we come up with, Jace? About 12 foot wide or 14 foot wide? I'll have to double check, but I got a double iron gate.
Does it open? Do we have enough space to do that here?
Yeah.
Okay, look at that.
You're just going to have to open it, you know, toward the inside. Let me look at it for
okay.
the feet.
Okay.
And then also on the insurance thing, since we're on the subject, you got to have profit coverage.
Yeah.
We can't have a church without profit coverage.
Okay.
Something we in the church.
Does too much investment. Now I understand this. Insurance has gone up for everybody. My insurance went up, and I own an insurance company, which is terrible. You know, they ought to give me a discount if you think about it. Kind of like Walmart gets a discount. They work but anyway, it don't work like that. It's gone up because everything in this whole world's gone up.
Okay.
Here you go. What you got there? What was you about to say?
I know by law we have to have liability insurance. I know that.
Yeah,
we cannot
right.
operate without liability insurance. Yeah. But for the building... So I'll give it to you guys and find
yeah.
out what we need
yeah,
to do.
We'll research it or whatever,
right.
But
we have two buildings and they priced it around 800,000 together.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if that's a good value or maybe we can get a break.
That's a real good value.
Okay, but for an...
if you had to replace both of these buildings.
Right.
You just never know, man. Tornado could come through here or something. Anyway.
Anyway, okay.
I'm not going to... We'll talk about that later and then we'll get on the gate.
Okay. All right. Let's work on that and pray about those things and let's pray about these things that we can do it. Those are the announcements that I have. Anyone else have any other announcements? If not, let us worship God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this time that you have given us to gather in this church and also online to worship you as your children. We come before you as your children, calling you Abba Father, because you have given us the privilege to become your children through your Son Jesus Christ, through whom we have eternity to share with you. Thank you for the protection and care and for all the good gifts that we receive from you every day. We thank you for your grace and redemption from our sins and death, so that we can have eternal life and spend eternity with you, O God. You opened the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. We come before you as your children in one spirit to worship and praise you for your marvelous works. We thank you for always being there for us, giving us all the things that we need. May the services of word and praise and also the Lord's table that we celebrate today bring honor and glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. It is our greeting time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. So we'll sing the congregational hymn today is Fairest Lord Jesus 189. It's also on the screen. You can join that on the screen or on the book. We'll sing that together.
Even light.
It's our prayer time now as we come before God. We bring our prayers of praises and thank God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives.
Pastor?
And also, sorry, I missed the responsive reading and the celebration blessings. Celebration blessings come from yesterday. So we'll do the responsive reading now, which is Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. And it's on page 859 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand for the responsive reading.
Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. A song of praise is fitting.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers the outcast of Israel.
The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
The Lord determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names.
Great is our Lord and abundant in his power. Whose understanding is beyond measure.
The Lord lifts up the downtrodden, but casts the wicked to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving.
Make melody upon the lyre to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow upon the hills.
The Lord gives to the beast of the wood and to the young ravens the cry.
The Lord takes no delight in the might of the horse, of a horse, nor pleasure in the strength of a runner.
But the Lord takes pleasure in the faithful, in those who hope in the Lord's steadfast love.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Now we'll do the prayer time. As we come before God, let us share our prayers of praises first, and then we'll thank God for all the blessings that we receive, and also we'll share our burdens and concerns and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. We trust in God's promise that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His will. Our regular prayer items that are listed in the back of the bulletin, please turn with me to the back in the boxes listed there, our prayer requests. Continue to pray for these people and these items. Some of the special items that we want to remember is Wayne. Wayne is back home from surgery of his knee. He's doing better, but he had a couple of days of terrible pain, but he's getting better. Talked to him yesterday. Please pray for him and also Carol during this time. And pray for Harry Crumlin, that's Wayne's cousin that he shared last time. Pray for his healing. Pray for Sean and Amy Conway for their healing. And also continue to pray for Jean McGrath, Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, and Jerry Raines, Ed and Bartolo. Pray for the families that are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Pray for the Johnson family, and also pray for the Thomas family. Let's pray for the peace around the world, and especially in the Middle East, that God will bring peace and love in those areas that are affected by wars. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many others who work behind the scenes. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for them and their families. Pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions that will bring good to the people and also unity in this country. We pray for the world leaders that they will also fear God when they make decisions and will bring peace to this world. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray that God will continue to give us His grace to continue the ministry here, to do His work faithfully in this community. And also let's pray for all the churches around this area, pastors, the ministers, and all those who are working around the world, in different parts of the world, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's remember them in our prayers. Those are the requests that I wanted to share. Anybody have any special requests to share or call out. We spend a few moments in silent prayer and then I'll close with the summarized prayer. Let us pray. Scripture says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Merciful and gracious God, we thank you for always being there listening to all of our prayers. Thank you for our life, the gift of life that you have given us to live in this world, along with all its joys and blessings that we enjoy. We thank you for the good health and strength you gave us in our bodies to be here today to worship you. We thank you for friends and family and church and many, many things that come with our lives, Lord, all because of your gift only. We thank you for covering us with your love and protection every day. We also come before you with our needs, O God. You are the source of all good things and you desire only good for your children. Many of us are broken in many different ways, in our bodies, in our souls, and in spirit. We are weary and burdened in many different ways, because of the stress of this world. But scripture says that even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, when we are hopelessly down, you are our strength. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you become our comfort and peace. Thank you always being there for us as our shelter. Grant healing to all those that we have lifted here and also who are looking to you for their healings. We pray for Wayne as he is recovering from his knee surgery. Bless him with your healing, touch him with your healing hand, O God. We pray for Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin. We pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace and Harry and Carol. Bless all of them with your healing. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives and in their families' lives. We also pray for Ed and Bertalow also. We pray for the Johnson family and the Thomas family who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for your peace to be with them and comfort them with your presence. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and grocery clerks and delivery people, many, many others who serve us behind the scenes every day. We thank you for the services and we pray for them and for their family at this time, O God. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and many others, governors and many others who make decisions, that they will have the wisdom, God's wisdom, to make the right decisions that will bring good to the people and unity and peace in this country. We pray for world leaders also that they will fear God when they make decisions that bring peace to this world and end all these wars that are affecting various parts of the world. We pray for our church and we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to do this ministry. Help us, Lord, to work together to continue this ministry in whatever way and form that you show us. Help us, Lord, to spread your love and kindness and compassion to this community, for the people around us. We pray for all the churches and the pastors and the ministries around this area. Bless all of them, Lord. Pray for the world church at large and the missionaries who work around the world in difficult circumstances. We pray for your grace and to be with them and also strengthen them, the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will do their work faithfully wherever they are. Be with us today, Lord, as we worship together in our meditation of the word and the singing and the prayers and the Holy Communion that we partake today, Lord, along with the Hispanic ministry. Bring honor and glory to you and also blessing to each and every one of us. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please.
Stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father,
this beautiful day that you give us, and everything that you give us comes from you. All the good things in our lives, we're just so thankful for that, and we just give a little bit back and hope that you can take this offering and multiply it, be able to have it just help all the things that need to be done in your kingdom and in all of our lives. Just be with us, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Colossians 3 verses 1 through 14. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word, the living word that gives us life and spirit in this world. Help us, Lord, to be open to your word so that we can receive your word with humility. Illumine our souls, O God, so that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear today. Talk to each and every one of us according to our needs, and also touch with your Holy Spirit, that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we had a big power outage this past week, and it killed certain things in our church. The internet router is fried, our printer is fried, So we probably have to get new equipment. Something around this area, maybe the construction is causing a lot of power outages recently and also internet outages. So we are running on an iPhone here on the internet. It's holding up good so far, which is good. It's Lisa's iPhone, so it's working fine so far. We made it work, all that things, but we had a stressful morning when we came in today. So as we continue with the study of the letters of Paul from the prison, and I continue to repeat these letters that we have been studying, the four letters that Paul wrote from the prison in Rome, waiting for his sentence, and finally he was killed by the Roman government in Rome. But he was praying and writing letters to the churches, and while he was in prison, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. So EPCP, if you want to remember that. So by the time we go through this slide, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Three of them are letters to churches. The last one is a letter to a person. We'll go through all of these things. And these are letters that he teaches the church how to grow in the faith and also how to discipline our lives to live a Christian life in this world. These letters were written somewhere in the 60 to 70 ADs during this time that history says that he was in Rome. And these were written in Greek language. And many manuscripts were unfolded. They took out, excavated from many parts. So there are not the original manuscripts, but rewritten manuscripts dating back to the first century AD. So these are letters that Paul wrote. Some of them were written by his own hand, and some of them were dictated to somebody else while he was in prison also. The purpose of this letter that we already saw that in Colossae was a church that he never went or he never established, but he writes to them to make sure that they may live a life worthy of the life of Lord Jesus Christ. So as for Christians, we are to follow Jesus Christ and show Christ in our lives through our actions and our words and deeds as we live out our lives in this world. There are only four chapters in this letter. First two are doctrinal chapters that we finished those. We talked about the supreme power of Jesus Christ, who is the creator of the universe. He is God himself. He is not a creation of God as the Son, but God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one in unity, as we call Trinity. So Jesus Christ himself is the God, is God, and he is the creator God. So there is no question about it. So they have some confusion about that. Then we also talked about chapter 2, which he teaches that Christ himself is sufficient for our salvation. You don't have to do anything else. Christ gave the price and paid the price for our salvation. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life. That's all the condition is, and it is free to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to go any places. You don't have to do any pilgrimage. It is not because of we give to the church or do something for God. It's not what matters. They all do matter. But when it comes to eternity and the relationship with you and God is a personal relationship through Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that matters when it comes to salvation of our souls. And chapter 3 and chapter 4 are practical lessons that he is teaching how to live out as Christ's disciples in this world. And chapter 3 that we read today is talking about that we are made visible in this world to reflect Christ. How do we do that? How do we reflect Jesus Christ in this world? Focuses on how Christian makes visible to the world. So he's comparing that about dressing up, putting on clothes. So clothes, when I studied this, what we wear sometimes or most of the time makes what we are. A lot of times we are stressed out, right, when we go to a wedding or a party or even church. How many people stress out what to wear? I know many women probably stress out a lot more than men. because we want to dress appropriately and we don't want to be caught short-dressed or overdressed. So sometimes I hear my wife sometimes calls her sister and says, what are you wearing? So they talk to each other. Right? And wear the appropriate clothes. So Paul is teaching, as Christians, we ought to wear the appropriate clothes where we live in this world. So what are these appropriate clothes that he's talking about? When we go to any place, like a policeman, how does he show this world that he's a policeman? He has a uniform, right? When you are not in uniform, sometimes they have to show their ID, but you get confused sometimes, so that's why they have their uniforms. So a judge has his robe, a pastor has a robe. So these are all identifying clothing or that people wear to show authority, to show their ministry, to show their role in this community, in our society. Everybody, I mean, each clothing that we wear has a meaning or a significance to it. Just like that, we ought to wear not external clothes, but internally we have to wear certain clothes. Paul talks about the external man and the internal man. It is not much that you wear externally that matters. It does also matter, because sometimes when you go to a job interview, don't you wear better clothing and dressed up neater? We do. And when we go visit a dignitary or a president or governor or somebody, you don't go in shabby clothes, right? You wear better clothes to present yourselves. So Mark Twain, and I always go to Mark Twain for his humorous quotes about anything, he said, clothes make the man. A naked man has nothing to give to the society. That's what he said. Absolutely true. Because if you are not prepared for a task, you have to dress appropriately. You cannot go wage a war wearing a sandal, right? You cannot go play football wearing ordinary clothes and sneakers, right? You have to wear the appropriate clothing so that you can perform what you are supposed to do. So there is phrase, sometimes we get confused with what to wear and how to wear. So we get so much stressed out and go after the unnecessary things. And Paul is saying that just like that, we have to wear certain things on our internal man. Internal man is the spirit. Through the dress that we wear, like kindness, compassion, being truthful, faithful, these are all the various clothes that we have to wear as Christians. And he also talks about some of the things that we have to take off, because when we live in this world, there's a lot of things, malice and anger and jealousy. Those things are covering us and our bodies, and that's not what Christ reflects in this world. So we have to take off those clothing and put on the new ones that Paul is teaching us. It's a very interesting way he is presenting this. There is a famous story, a famous saying that the emperor has no clothes. Do you know that story? The emperor has no clothes? It's a famous story, like in the 1800s, a man named Hans Christian Andersen wrote this story. He wrote several stories. And one of the stories that it became a big idiom that when you should be bold enough to tell the powerful, even the king, if he's not wearing clothes, you say, you are naked, don't be afraid. That's what it is. What happened was, the king hired two people who came by, like travelers, and he thought these were smart people, and he hired them to make some special robe for his clothes, for him to wear. But these two men were actually swindlers. They were fakesters. So they decided to take the money and spend the time in the palace. And about a few weeks after that, he said, "Oh, emperor, the clothes is the robe is ready. If you want to wear it, but there is only one catch. This material that we use to make this robe for you is visible only to those who are smart." So the emperor thought, "Oh, great." So the emperor obviously couldn't see anything, but there was nothing that he could see. So he said, "Okay, all right, I can't see anything, but let me put on this beautiful suit." And he walked along the streets thinking that he was wearing a suit, and he didn't want to say anything because he didn't want to look stupid. He wanted to look smart. So he started walking around. All the people around him also were afraid to tell him because they didn't want to look stupid either, right? So they all thought that they would be smart, and these swindlers took advantage of this, and they were going around on the streets, and the emperor was naked with no clothes on, and nobody wants to say anything. Then one child, who was actually on the shoulder of his parents, cried out and said, hey, the emperor is naked. He doesn't have any clothes on. And that's when everybody realized that even the child, you have to listen to the child, and it's the truth. You have to tell the truth to the powerful. And I just brought this up because we always think that we have all these things. When we come to the church, we are wearing good suit and good dress, right? We are good people, good Christians. We love each other. We have kindness, we have compassion, we talk about the poor. But how about outside? Can the world see, or is it like the emperor? Can the world see us as we are in the church? Are we dressed up for the church, and also as we live out our lives in the society? We need to always remember ourselves, how we show Jesus Christ to this world. The idea that what you wear is what you are, it's a powerful expression. Paul asked believers to put to death certain things and put on certain things. He's saying we want to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And get rid of all of those bad ones, jealousy, anger, and envy, a lot of other things that we don't want to keep as a reflection of Jesus Christ. As believers, we are to clothe with the righteousness of Christ. Paul writes about taking off the old self that I told you, the self that is constantly being restored to bear the image of God, that there is no longer any identity that matters except for the identity of Christ. For Christians, the only identity that we reveal to this world is the identity of Jesus Christ. So when we talk about we are all looking for a new pastor, that I've been working with the AIM to search for a new pastor. And some of them always ask you, what are you looking for this pastor? You know, what do you want to for this pastor to do? I said, well, we have to grow the church and reach out to the communities. And there are a lot of needy people around us. And also, our church is small, so we want to make it bigger, reach out and bring more people to the church. Those are the things that we are trying to get this pastor from. And then one of them asked me, how about the people in the pews? We're talking about people outside the church. And he said, which really opened my eyes, most of the time the people in the pews need Jesus Christ more than the people outside. Because the people outside will come here, and if they don't see Jesus Christ in each of us, they're not going to come back. No matter how your music is, no matter how good a sermon this preacher can preach, but when they walk in this door, each of us has to reflect and the qualities of Jesus Christ. That is what makes a church to grow. So that really opened my eyes. So whatever, you know, you can look for the greatest preacher in the world, but when it comes to the ministry of the church, we have to reflect the life of Christ to others. They have to see Jesus Christ in our lives, through our actions, through our needs. The world is looking for Jesus. Where are they looking for? They're looking for in the people of Jesus Christ, in the church. So, in order to get this clothing, how do you get this clothing? So I just made up a story. Like, you have to go to a mall called Jesus Mall. I mean, we all like to go, I mean, malls are closing down lately, and they're opening these little strip malls now. But malls used to be a big thing. So Jesus Mall is where you can buy these clothing. You cannot buy that in our regular mall or any morality mall. You cannot go and talk to a leader. I mean, they can tell you a lot of things, but they don't preach, they don't do what they preach. But as Christians, the only mall that you can get this kindness and compassion and humility and gentleness and peace, all of these things, in the Jesus Mall, where Jesus Christ is the model. So the Holy Spirit will take you there if you are willing, and pray to God. If you are willing, the Holy Spirit will take you there. And not only that, He will take you there, but He will also measure you against Jesus Christ. And our standard is Jesus Christ. So when you go there, you will see a lot of these things that good that you wanted to get. And you want to get rid of these old ones, the bad ones, and get new ones. But what happens is, many times when we get there, we see, say, patience. One of the things that we see there as a clothing. Oh, I want to get that one for my pastor. No, no. This mall is not for other people. You cannot shop for anybody else, even for your children. This is for yourself. The Holy Spirit will measure your size against Jesus Christ and will convict you of what you need. Hey, you need this. You measure against Jesus and get this. Well, if your son wants a shirt or something, he can come. But you cannot shop for other people. So that is one condition when you go to the mall, Jesus mall. So, for example, you may be tempted to shop for others when you start shopping there, and the Holy Spirit will tell you these are all custom made. There is nothing that is standard, one size fit for all. Everybody needs custom made clothing. So when you go there, say if you are seeing a garment of compassion, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, you can get it in Jesus. But that compassion is not the one that you see outside. A lot of people have compassion outside. But what Jesus gives you, a compassion that goes beyond the world's compassion. It is empathy, that you put yourself in the shoe of others. And you feel the pain of your neighbor, your brother. You feel the need of your feel, and that is compassion that Jesus Christ teaches. Then we see kindness there. Kindness is difficult to give away and never run out because it will keep coming back. Then you will see humility there, a garment that we need to renew every time, right? A lot of times I find myself that the my shirts and pants are getting shorter and tighter. I always blame the maker for it, even though I started growing out of it. But like that, we need to renew our shirts and our garments constantly, because it has to be renewed. Humility is one of that things that we need to get more and more every day. You cannot say that I had humility and patience 2 years ago, but that may not be enough today, because the world has changed, life has changed. So you have to constantly go to this mall to shop for these garments. And once you go there, believe me, you will get addicted to this shopping. As an honest Christian, you want to get all of this clothing that you want to wear from Jesus more and more. And when we get there, Jesus will, the Holy Spirit will measure against Jesus Christ. Gentleness is another garment. Gentleness is something that we all like to have. And again, and I read the story of Mark Twain that I told you, he wrote a little piece, a story saying that he built a cage and put a dog and a cat together. Eventually, after a little while of adjustment, they started adjusting together and started peaceably living together. Then he introduced a pig, a goat, and a kangaroo. And he thought they would not, you know, live together, and it's impossible, and a monkey in the mix. And then eventually they all had trouble in the beginning, but they adjusted themselves because they wanted to survive. So they learned how to live together there. But then he added two human beings to that mix. And he said, after adding the two human beings, he actually said, not human being, he actually added two Baptists, but I don't want to say that. That's wrong to say that. But he said, in a very short time, there was not a single living thing present in that cage. That's what human beings are. We mess up so much. The animals don't do that, do they? They just want to survive. They love each other. They take care of each other. But here, we human beings mess up everything, even in our families. Even though we love our families, you know how much conflicts going on in our families when it comes to wealth and this and that. So we know how to mess up things that are beautiful. That's what we do. But the Holy Spirit takes us to the Jesus mall and measure us against Jesus and say, hey, you ought to become like Jesus. That is when all these things will line up. So we have to wear this clothing of kindness and compassion and patience and gentleness. And according to the story that I wrote, there are red tag items that you can buy more. You can buy one, get one free. And one of them is patience. Definitely I need that. I need to go get more of it every day. I cannot just saying that, oh, I got enough of it. Patience, you need more. Humility, you need more. These are red tag specials that we have to go and get from the mall of Jesus Christ every day so that we can be renewed and show this world that we are Christians. What did Jesus say? By your love, the world will know that you are Christians. And that's what Paul also is saying, that overall, put on the garment of love that binds all of these things together. Love is the overall garment that we put on together. If we have love, we love each other, love our neighbors, love the strangers, love even our enemies. That's what Jesus said. Even on the cross, he loved and he prayed for his enemies. That's what Jesus reflected in this world. Are we reflecting that love to this world? So as Christians, as we come before the table, reflect on our lives and see, do we have the garment that God wants, the garment of righteousness? Are we showing that to this world? Can the world see Jesus Christ through what we wear in our actions, in our deeds, and in our words? As we come before the table, please come as the Spirit encourages you. All are welcome to this table. The sacrifice that Jesus has made on the cross of Calvary, he gave his life for each of us, so that we can have that garment of righteousness that we can wear because of Jesus Christ. That is how we partake today, and we remember that sacrifice that he did and the resurrection. He rose from the dead so that we can have eternity with God. Please come as the ushers guide you. Holy Communion order, which is a laminated sheet at the pews. We'll follow that. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gathered here today, on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Now the ushers may guide and come forward and take up the Lord. Let us give thanks for this Lord's table that we participated today. I'll pray in English and then Pastor Nelson will pray in Spanish afterwards. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for this mystery that you have given us to take part together as your people. The Lord's table that unites us as one in spirit, as the children of one Father. We give you thanks for this mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Señor mi Dios, le damos gracias en esta preciosa mañana por ser nuestro Dios. Gracias por su amor, por su misericordia. Gracias por este hermoso tiempo en el cual podemos tomar la Santa Cena y poder recordar, mi Dios, que un día la tomaremos todos juntos con usted. Gracias por lo bueno y lo misericordioso que usted es con nosotros. Nos ponemos en sus manos en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Amén. Our closing hymn is hymn number 382 in the Blue Book. And if you have a Spanish hymnal, it is 361. Have thine own way. As we go from this place, remember, we are to reflect the life of Christ to this world, wearing the robe of righteousness, kindness, humility, patience, love, and above all, cover all ourselves with love. This is what Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.